I love this. This is great. In my first church, I started pastoring back in 1975. We didn't celebrate Christmas Eve, and I really love the way we celebrate Christmas Eve here. But we did celebrate Christmas Day, whatever day of the week it was, and I missed that, so this is great. Every Christmas, we read a story that contains, for us, contemporary ears, contains a mystery. Now, it was not a mystery to the people who first experienced it. From this distance, most Christians mistake familiarity with understanding. That is, we don't really understand some of the details, but they're so familiar it doesn't really matter to us. So let me read you the story again. And this time, ask yourself two related questions. How did the shepherds know where to find the Christ child? And how did they know what it meant that he was the Savior? Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. So, first, how did the shepherds find Jesus? You know, the star that announced Christ's birth to the Magi appeared that night, but it was noticed 1,000 miles away in Persia. There's no mention of it here. It would not appear low over Bethlehem until the Magi arrived several months later. All the shepherds had to go on was this sign. So we'll kind of look at it from from their shoes, sandals, whatever. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. So what do we have? We've got swaddling cloths. In other words, you're not going to find a typical blanket that infants usually have. Swaddling cloths were strips of cloth used to wrap up certain newborns. And let's put that to the side for a moment, any significance of swaddling cloths, and just say, how does that help us find him? Well, there is more. Okay, he's going to be lying in a manger. Manger, feeding trough for animals. So he's going to be somewhere where animals are kept. Okay, this is an agricultural town. Virtually everyone in Bethlehem owns an animal or two. There are some larger stables, sheep pens. Okay, guys, split up. Check all the dozens and dozens of places he could be. Anybody finds him, let out a shout. No, that's not what happened. That's not what happened. It reads as if they quickly went exactly where they were told and found the child straight away. There's no sense of splitting up here and looking for hours and hours of possible locations. And afterwards, they didn't simply tell others that they had found the Savior. they carefully relayed the exact message of the angels, as if that message, that sign, had tremendous significance. So much significance that it left people pondering what it meant. I can just see Lieutenant Columbo on this case. Do you see my problem here? Okay. How did these set of directions, how did they lead them to a particular place, to a particular child? And what is so amazing about how they found him? Strips of cloth, a manger. I mean, what did it all mean? When Columbo interviewed the residents of Bethlehem, if he were to do so, he would soon discover what the wise men discovered, that Bethlehem was the prophesied location of the Messiah's birth. That's from Micah chapter 5. This is what Herod's scholars told the Magi. You, Bethlehem of Ephrathah, Ephrathah was his old name, you who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you will come forth for me, one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. But, you know, Columbo is a thorough investigator. He would discover also that the location of the Messiah's birth was associated not only with the little town of Bethlehem, but with a particular place, a specific location, just outside of town. It was called Migdal Eder, two words that mean Tower of the Flock. It was a place name. Flock towers or shepherd towers were used to coordinate and protect large flocks. The one in Bethlehem has long since been replaced by churches and shrines. This is an agricultural watchtower that I personally came across in Israel. It was designed along similar lines. But recently I found a very old photograph of an actual shepherd's watchtower. It's two stories. One shepherd would man the top story to keep watch on the lookout for predators and thieves and so on. You can see quite a distance from up there. And the first story was a utility area, often used as a shelter for sheep and the shepherds assisting them when sheep are ready to give birth. And so the lower story would be equipped with everything they would need for that purpose. A manger stocked with food and, oh yes, strips of cloth. Not baby blankets, but swaddling cloths used to swaddle or wrap up newborn lambs so that in their thrashing about they wouldn't damage their fragile legs. There are two references to Migdal Eder in the Old Testament. In that day, we read this in Micah 4, the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from this time forth and forevermore. And you, O tower of the flock, hill of the daughter of Zion, to you it shall come. The former dominion shall come, kingship for the daughter of Zion. Now, remember, Micah 5 predicted Bethlehem, and that was quoted to the Magi. Here, one chapter earlier, in chapter 4 of Micah, Micah prophesies the Messiah's arrival even more specifically. He could have been speaking of Jerusalem metaphorically as a shepherd's tower, but in fact, there was a place called Migdal Eder, Tower of the Flock, just a few miles from Jerusalem in Bethlehem. And we know, in fact, where it was from the only other reference to Migdal Eder in the Bible, and that's back in Genesis, where it says that Jacob buried Rachel outside of Bethlehem, just beyond Migdal Eder, the Tower of the Flock. Now, I said that the ancient shepherd's tower in Bethlehem sheepfield, that's long gone. And that's because the location has been venerated from antiquity. Beit Shaor, a Palestinian town about 1 mile east of Bethlehem, honors several shrines commemorating the location that has been venerated by Christians since the 4th century at least. The site of Migdal Eder, associated with the birth of Jesus. So add it up. The Old Testament says the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, mentions a specific shepherd's tower near Jerusalem, a place stocked with a full manger where the only thing you could wrap a baby in would be swaddling cloths that were used for infant lambs. I think we've solved the mystery of how the shepherds found Christ. The sign they were given was a sign designed for the shepherds of Bethlehem. It wasn't vague to them at all. They never had to make any search. What they essentially heard was, you'll find the baby at your watchtower. With Bethlehem so crowded because of the taxation, the shepherds at the watchtower obviously had taken pity on a poor family with no place to stay. So the shepherds in the field didn't have to search anywhere. They quickly went exactly to where they were told the child would be, at the watchtower, covered with the swaddling cloths used for newborn lambs and lying in the manger. That's it. Case is solved. Wait a minute. Just one more thing. It's a small detail. Might not mean anything. It's just one of those little things that get in your head, you know, and you can't get it out. There were shepherds in the field, and they were keeping watch over their flocks by night. Now, I've seen that sentence 1,000 times, but there's something unusual there. I just can't see it. It was right in front of my eyes until back in 1995, when I was in Israel, I saw this active sheepfold on the Bethlehem sheep field, matter of fact. This is where sheep would be protected during the night. Jesus talked about this arrangement, right? The shepherd, you see the opening there? The shepherd would sleep across the opening. The shepherd was the gate of the sheepfold. And Jesus talked about that. And then it hit me. Sheep don't graze at night. They're in sheepfolds at night. So why were the shepherds keeping watch over their flock by night? And I found the answer, finally, in the Mishnah, the written summary of ancient Jewish oral traditions. The Mishnah states that sacrificial animals for the temple were grazed at Bethlehem, not only in Bethlehem, but specifically at Migdal Eder. It turns out that Migdal Eder is not just any shepherd's watchtower. It was the watchtower on the road just outside of Bethlehem where sheep for temple sacrifice were grazed. Now this makes sense. That a flock in Bethlehem should supply temple sacrifices just 2 or 3 miles down the road. Multiple sacrifices were required every single day, and all travelers visiting the temple had to buy their offerings locally. The sacrificial flock at Migdal Eder may have been the only flock in Israel where shepherds would have to often graze their sheep around the clock in order to keep up with an unrelenting demand, and therefore need to keep watch over their flock, out in the field, by night. You know, we look at this wonderful story, and we see the big deal that Jesus was born in humble circumstances. I love that king-size bed thing. What an amazing fact that is, that the divine Word who made the universe should be born in human form at all, let alone in a fallen world. How appropriate in a stable. Tremendous statement of humility. But the angel's sign said more than that. It told the shepherds that they would find their Messiah, their Savior, at the Bethlehem watchtower, born with all the other lambs destined for sacrifice. The sign given by the angels not only declared where the Savior could be found, but what it meant. That he was their Savior. Jesus was born to die on our behalf. His death on the cross at the hands of Jews and Gentiles was no accident. It was an essential part of his mission, why he came. Just as the Old Testament had predicted from Isaiah, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. And out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. On his cross, Jesus willingly absorbed all the just divine wrath which he as God himself had decreed against sinners like you and me. He willingly suffered divine rejection as a human being so that those of us who believe in him would never be rejected by God. All the work of Satan, all the world's sin and evil, the criminal record of the human race compiled over millennia, all the miseries that pile up in the wake of sin, emotional anguish and emptiness, physical pain and death. Jesus was born to sabotage it all. If the angel hosts are God's army, then the angelic detail escorting the Son of God that night were special forces. Because this was by far the most significant covert operation undertaken in any conflict on this planet. The sign given by the angels tells us that Jesus came not just to free a few prisoners, not just to take out a few enemy leaders. Jesus came that night to kill death. And before he was finished, that's exactly what he did. So it's no wonder that as that angelic squad made their way back home to their base from mission, they called down to some of the local creatures of dust who had been so incredibly honored. Your Savior's just been born. You'll find him where all the sacrificial lambs are born. Glory to God and peace to all who are pleasing to the Lord through him. So today, on Christmas Day and every Christmas day to come, ponder the angel's sign. Wonder at it. Be amazed as the first people who heard it. Tell me exactly what they said again. Because Jesus came as prophesied to kill death. Believers who are no longer here with us, they are safe with God, awaiting their resurrection this Christmas. And one day when our children celebrate Christmas without us, they will know that we are safe with God, awaiting our resurrection, along with millions of brothers and sisters from every people, tribe, and language, because of what Jesus came to do. Now our Christmas mystery really is solved. The sign heralded by angels took the shepherds and now has taken us alongside them to the very heart of salvation. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for your Son's mission to save us. Thank you for the sign that made it clear what that mission was. Thank you that it's a sign for us every bit as much as for the original shepherds. 21 centuries later, we still wonder at it. We still ponder it. We still treasure it in our hearts. Thank you, Father, for a birth so special and so amazing, it required angelic announcement. Through him, through Jesus, we worship you, and we have hope. Amen.